Chapter 12, this is the last chapter of the Bhakti Yoga section. So it's like we're starting a new book today. And this is dealing with Jnana Yoga. The first six chapters describe how through working and giving up the results of that work, one can purify oneself and gradually come to bhakti through the different yoga systems. And in the middle six chapters, Krishna was describing devotional service directly about himself and glorifying the process of direct devotional service. And then in the last six chapters, Krishna describes the process of Jnana Yoga, how the living entity can transcend the modes of nature and come to bhakti through jnana. So the Bhagavad Gita has these three sections, and actually as one studies it, one realizes this, and therefore that's why Prabhupada has translated the first six and the last six chapters in a very devotional slant or mood, because he realizes the real purpose of the book, which is to bring people to bhakti. So in chapter 12, verse 7, Krishna says, Tesham aham samadharta mrityu samsarasagara, that I will deliver my devotees, those who are mam jayanta upasate, who always ananyinaiva yogina, mam jayanta upasate, they're worshipping me with their mind fixed on me with pure devotional service. And for them, I come as a swift deliverer, and I bring them out of the mrityu samsara sagara, the ocean of birth and death. So now in this last six chapters, Krishna gives the knowledge by which his devotee can be delivered from that mrityu samsara sagara, from the ocean of birth and death. This knowledge is the thing which can help to bring one out from that ocean. And it begins with Arjuna asking six questions. So we'll read these two verses. Well, verses 1 and 2 are grouped together. So let's just chant the first verse. Arjuna vacha prakritim purusham chaiva kshetram kshatrayam eva cha etad veditu michhami jnanam geyam chakeshava. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, Purusha, and the field, and the knower of the field, and of knowledge, and the object of knowledge. So these are very basic terms. And Arjuna wants to clarify these terms for his further rectification, so he can rise above the modes of nature. Krishna's mentioned most of them before. Once I asked some devotees to try to link chapter 12 and 13. So one devotee very cleverly observed that in verse 12, the one that was very difficult to decipher, in that verse, Krishna said that if you cannot take to this practice, then take to the cultivation of knowledge. And better than that is meditation. And better than that is the renouncing the fruits. So I thought that Arjuna, being very humble, thought that he's on the lowest platform, so he should just cultivate knowledge. So then he asked these six questions like this, so he can develop his knowledge. But this was a student's observation. Although it was rather astute, I thought. It was interesting. Because that was one of the last things Krishna said, that if you can't do this, then cultivate knowledge. Now Arjuna is asking these questions. So Krishna now answers the third question, which is called kshetra. in terms, the six terms here, prakriti, purusha, are terms one and two, and they go together. The third and fourth are kshatra and kshatragya, which go together. And the fifth and sixth term, Arjuna's asking about, is jnanam and gyanam, and they go together. Prakriti means the material nature, and purusha means the enjoyer. And kshatra means the field, and kshatragya means the knower of the field, and jnanam means knowledge, and gyayam means object of knowledge. So Krishna will define this now. Okay, let's chant the verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshatram Ityabhadhiyate Etadyo Vetitam Prahu Kshatragya Ityadvidaha. The Supreme Personality of God said, this body, O Son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows his body is called the knower of the field. So, why do you think that this body is called the field? The area where you can perform actions, yes? Okay. Madan Mohan, people sow seeds in the field, agricultural fields, and they grow fruits or vegetables like that. And as it is said in the Russian Vedas, Shto prasneyash, shto pashnosh. As you sow, so shall you reap. Which is true. Yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the body is called the field because the living entity's happiness and distress is cultivated in this body. And Prabhupada also gave a class describing this, that you have a big agricultural field and then you have a farmer who's plowing or the field, and then he says, so what will grow from the field? And the answer is, according to what he plants, something will grow. So according to the activities of the living entities, then he gets a particular body according to his karma. Karma, daivena, karmena, daivena, netrena. Janto deoba bhaktaye. Sthirubhavishtudaram pumsam reta kanashraya. So the living entity is awarded a certain kind of body according to his previous activities. And that body is limited and provides only certain amounts of sense gratification, pain and pleasure. That's like a worm cannot run or jump or dance or sing or study philosophy. He can just crawl around, you know, slither through the dirt. When it rains, he comes out a little bit, then he goes back in the earth. And a dog, he can run around and bark, then he goes back in the earth. And a dog, he can run around and bark and like this, but he can't do other things that humans can do. So humans can do more things, but they're also limited. And according to the body that we have, we may also be limited. If we're born in, you know, some place in Africa in the jungle, we may never leave our village, right? But if we're born in Hollywood, California, we may become a movie star and travel all around the world like this, and then enjoy in so many ways. So the kind of human body also gives pleasures and pains according to the person's karma. And Krishna, when he says this body is called the field, he uses the word etat. So in Sanskrit, you have tat, which means that, far away, and idam, which means this, which is something a little closer. But when you use etat, it means very close. It's in hands distance or proximity. So the body, Krishna, the Acharya said that Krishna uses this word because the body is very close to everyone, very near and dear. Ocean Priyatna, Moitela. I love this body. And because of that, we're very attached to this body, and we, all of our pain and pleasure is all coming from this body. So our consciousness is completely focused on this body. And we'll hear more about that later in text number 5. Prabhupada comments in the last paragraph of this verse 1 and 2. In the first chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the body, the living entity, and the position by which he can understand the Supreme Lord are described. In the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between the individual soul and the Supersoul in regard to devotional service are described. The superior position of the Supreme and the subordinate position of the individual soul are definitely defined in these chapters. The living entities are subordinate under all circumstances, but in their forgetfulness they are suffering. When enlightened by pious activities, chatur vidava jantimam, while enlightened by pious activities, they approach the Supreme Lord in different capacities, as the distressed, those who want money, the inquisitive, and those in search of knowledge. That is also described. Now, starting with the 13th chapter, how the living entity comes in contact with material nature, and how he is delivered by the Supreme Lord through the different methods of fruit of activities, cultivation of knowledge, and discharge of devotional service are explained. Well, the living entity is completely different from the material body. He somehow becomes related. This is also explained. So, this last six chapters have to do with Sambandha Gyan. Yeah? 13 is like a format or a matrix or an outline of the last six chapters. I mean sutras for the whole last six chapters. The last six chapters are based on chapter 13. Chapter 13 is very philosophical. So kshetra means the field, and the body is the field of activities for the soul. The living entity's happiness and distress is tasted by the living entity in this body. And that happiness and distress grows from this body. The living entity tries to taste that happiness and distress. So the living entity, well, let's see, we'll get to the next thing. Oh yeah, and one who knows his body, he's called Kshatragya. So that refers to both the conditioned soul and the liberated soul. The conditioned soul who thinks I'm this body and he's attached to the body, he's Kshatragya also. And the one who's liberated, he's also Kshatragya. Both of them. Now you might wonder why Krishna skipped the first two. There's no mention anywhere, but our process is also philosophical analysis. So we could say that it's simpler to describe kshatra and kshatragya. Because prakriti and purusha is a very wide, expansive thing, which includes the universe and all of these things. So first describe the difference between matter and spirit, and then later talk about these other things. All right. Text 3. Kshatragyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshatra shubharita kshatra kshatra kyayu jnanam yattad jnanam matam mama. O sign of heart, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. So Krishna said, Kshatragyam chapi mam vidhi, you should know I am also the kshatragya. Yeah? So chapi means also. So Krishna is saying, I am also a kshatragya. So there's two kshatragyas. But the Shankaracharya and other Mayavadis like him, they say the word cha means that you should know that he who is the knower within the body is also me. So you can see he can have a wonderful time trying to twist the different meaning out from this. But Prabhupada mentions this at the very end of the commentary. So the word cha is significant, for it indicates the total numbers of bodies. That is the opinion of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who is our Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya. Krishna is the Supersoul present in each and every body, apart from the individual soul. And Krishna explicitly says here that the Supersoul is the controller of both the field of activities and the finite enjoyer. So, Prabhupada explains that someone that owns an apartment, he is concerned about his apartment. He knows that apartment. But the landlord, he's also concerned about the apartment and knows about it. And he has other apartments that he's concerned about as well. So he is also the knower of the apartment. The individual person who's renting, he's the occupier, temporary occupier of that apartment. But the landlord, he is the proprietor of that apartment, and he has many other apartments that he knows about and he's concerned about. Like that. So he's also the knower. So this is a more simple way of translating this verse. And he said, kshatra kshatra gyayo gyanam. That knowledge of the difference between the field and the knower of the field. That is called jnanam. And this is my opinion. Matam mama. My opinion. Because Krishna is God, so his opinion is the most important. So this is just a very preliminary definition of knowledge. Krishna will describe knowledge in great detail in verses 8 to 12. But right now he just gives a little sutra. So, getting back to number 3, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that this body with the senses is the facility for material contact and is the so-called field because it's the ground on which the tree of material existence grows. The jiva who knows his body is kshatragya, both in his conditioned state and his liberated state. Like a farmer, kshatragya is also the enjoyer of fruits in his field, as described by the Supreme Lord, who said, village vultures eat one fruit of this tree, while the forest swans eat another fruit from this tree. Right, the vultures, they like the certain kinds of fruits. And the swans, they like more elevated fruits, let's say. One who understands this tree of illusion, which comes in many forms, is the knower of the Vedas. So this verse means vultures are called gridra. Gridra means to grab, to seize something. So the vultures are called gridra because they seize sense gratification. So the materialists are after the gross sense gratification. They're like compared to vultures. And liberated devotees and transcendentalists are like swans because they're looking for the loftier fruits from this tree. So the conditioned souls, they're like vultures. They just eat the fruit of misery. But the swans, the devotees, they eat the fruit of sublime happiness of devotional service. And we'll give this example will come up again later. From the field will grow the tree, the banyan tree. Okay. In chapter 15. And then the analogy will go into more detail. Now in this commentary, Prabhupada says, perfect knowledge of the constitution of the body, the constitution of the individual soul, and the constitution of the super soul is known in terms of Vedic literature as jnana. That is the opinion of Krishna. Now one has to understand the position of Prakriti, Purusha, and Ishwar. Okay. So I guess we should use the term Purusha here. One should not confuse the three in their different capacities. One should not confuse the painter, the painting, and the easel. Which is a very interesting analogy. So, please tell me, which is which? Ishvara, the Purusha, and the Prakriti represent the painting, the painter, and the easel. So which one is which? Painting is Prakriti.
Okay.
No, what is the Supreme Lord? You already know that He's the Supreme Controller. The living entity is His expansion in Vibhinamsa. And then Prakriti is also His expansion, which is inherent. And you know how they, coexist and how they relate to one another. That's the most important thing. And this question doesn't come up in examination anyway, but it's meant to make you think a little bit, which it did, I think. Okay, let's go on to the next verse now. Next four. And we'll stop there. Dakshatram yatcha yadriksha yad vikare yatascha yad sachayo yad prabhavascha tat samasenam meshinu. Now please hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted, what its changes are, whence it is produced, who that knower of the field of activities is, and what his influences are. So here we have five things mentioned by the Supreme Lord. These are again sutras. He's actually breaking up this chapter, describing, he's telling Arjuna what he's going to tell him in this chapter. Again, this is good preaching, good writing. Like Gail Carnegie says, first you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. This is how you preach. This is how you give a lecture. In other words, there's a beginning, an introduction, there's the main body, then there's a wrap-up at the end when you summarize the points. So Krishna's giving an introduction to the chapter, what he's going to speak about. So yadrik means the constitution of the field of activities, what it's made from. And that will be given in verse 6 and 7. The constitution is in 6. Then, vikari means the transformations. And that's given in verse 7. Then, yata means the origin, where it comes from. And that's described also in verse 6, verse 21, 22, and 30. Then, yaha, satcha yo. So yo means, comes from the word yaha, and means who. And who that knower is. So that's described in verses 14 to 18. And prabhava means the influences, upon the living entity from this field of activities, and that's also described in verses 14 to 18. So there you have it. It's like a microchip. You know, the whole chapter more or less is being described here in this verse. So Krishna says, Tat Samasena. This is just a brief outline of what I'm going to tell, a summary. So in the commentaries, Arjuna says, who has explained in detail the knowledge which you have just summarized? And then Krishna describes in the next verse. Who has explained the details of this knowledge which you will summarize now? Because he said, I will tell you a summary. So now Krishna answers that in text 5. Please chant.
Rishibhir bahudha gītam chandobhir vividhātratap brahma sutra padaschaiva hetumadbhir vinispitai.
That knowledge of the field of activities and the knower of activities is described by various rishis in various Vedic chandas. Right? These are the words Krishna has used. Various sages in various Vedic writings. This is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra, which is also known as Brahma Sutra, with all reasoning as to cause and effect. So Krishna is referring to rishis and chandas, which means the Vedas. So he's referring to sadhu and shastra, which is very important. He's acting as Arjuna's guru, and he, in verse 3, he said that I have given my opinion. Kshatra mam shapi mam vidhi sarva kshatra shubharata kshatra kshatra gyo gyanam yattav gyanam atam mama. This is my opinion. But now, Krishna is the supreme authority, but still, he's giving some reference to sadhu and shastra to support and validate what he's going to speak. Which is good. He's showing that there's a standard process and a standard of knowledge, which is a traditional presentation of knowledge. Sutra Pralaschaiva Hetu Magni Vinishti. So the Brahma Sutras or the Vedanta Sutras, there's three kinds of Vedic knowledge: Shruti Prasthan, Smriti Prasthan, and Nyaya Prasthan. And they all help to give, they all give knowledge of the Absolute Truth through different means. One is through the Shrutis, that which is heard, and which is directly spoken, emanating from Lord Narayan himself. These are the four Vedas, including all of the Upanishads. Then the Smriti, that which is remembered, is uttered and written down by the sages, the rishis, because they hear the Vedic knowledge from the Shrutis, they assimilate it, they realize it, and then they give some histories and stories and realizations and analogies and explanations and unpack the sutras of the Vedic knowledge in the Smriti scriptures. So their realizations help. And then Nyaya Prasthan means approaching the Absolute Truth through logic and reasoning. Hetu Madbir Vinishchitai. So we can also, so the Vedanta Sutra is packed filled with logic and reasoning. And one can approach the Absolute Truth through logic and reasoning also. If it's guided by Vyasadeva, then you can, if it's just your own mental speculation, that's a different thing. But there is logic and reasoning in what we do in our process of Bhakti Yoga and in Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga and other processes. Because there's, you have hypothesis, then you have experiment, then you have results, analysis, and then you have draw a conclusion. Right? You have a very scientific way of approaching or coming to the Supreme Truth. So, the Vedanta Sutras, particularly, they're written by Vyasa, but Vyasa's father is Parashara Muni. So Krishna's referring to Parashara Muni in this verse, that he has given this knowledge. And Prabhupada refers to Parashara Muni twice in the commentary. So when he says that this knowledge is described by various sages, he's particularly referring to Parashara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva. Who was Vyasadeva in his previous life? Because Vyasadeva is a post. So each time, each era, there's a new person who takes that post. Just like Indra or Brahma. Prabhupada comments. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the highest authority in explaining this knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, the learned scholars and standard authorities always give evidence from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining this most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the supersoul by referring to a scripture, the Vedanta, which is accepted as authority. First he says, this is according to different sages. As far as the sages are concerned, besides himself, Vyasadeva is a great sage, and the Vedanta Sutra duality is perfectly explained. And Vyasa's father, Prasha, is also a great sage. And he writes, this is in the Vishnu Purana, Aham Tvam Cha Tatanye. We, you and I, various other living entities, are all transcendental, although in material bodies. It's a short explanation of our philosophy. And at the end he says, yes, so there are many great sages who have explained this, and Parashara is considered principal among them. So twice he mentions him there. And the previous commentators mentioned that this Parashara is referred to here. So,